Welcome back to this episode of the Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate, your host, and today I have a Q1 recap on deck. Today's guest is a familiar guest and familiar voice, Josh Belfiore. Today, Josh and I are recapping new features and exciting things that happened here at eMoney in Q1 of 2026. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Josh. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Hey, Josh, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining the podcast. You're an endless wealth of knowledge when it comes to everything eMoney, so I know there's always something our listeners can gain from our conversations and from having you on. Today, we are recapping everything that happened here at eMoney in Q1, which, to be clear, is quite a lot. We had a very busy Q1 here. So let's kind of take it all the way back to January, but also cover things that have recently launched as well. We launched our plan comparison. We launched several reports within Decision Center, including our asset allocation report, our leave to heirs, education and spending reports. How have adding these features elevated the planning experience for our advisors?
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me back. And you're right, it was a very big start to the year. And it's a good question. How does this all come together? How does this all benefit our users? Let me start with a couple of comments that put all of this in context. So without question, eMoney has a lot of functionality, a lot of features in different parts of the application. And a lot of that functionality is interrelated in some shape or form, meaning advisors are often using multiple pieces of functionality to do a single job, build or assess that financial plan. And so our broader strategy here has always been and continues to be to basically consolidate all of that content and functionality from different parts of the experience into a singular planning experience, so Decision Center. And we have that strategy centered around Decision Center because Decision Center is that workspace that enables really collaborative and interactive engagements between advisors and clients for those advisors that are inclined to work like that. But even for those advisors that are not inclined to, you know, build a plan live or present live via Decision Center with a client, it's still a very powerful planning tool that is immediately responsive to users. So you can explore the minutiae of any given decision and see its impact in real time. So Decision Center is so good at that kind of real-time planning type of engagement. And so that's why we want to focus on Decision Center. And so, yes, we have brought more reports into Decision Center. We've had a steady stream of reports coming in for years now. And the latest, a couple, as you mentioned, asset allocation, for example, the whole point of that is we can see in our data how much use they get, right? So if we've got people in Decision Center, a lot of people in Decision Center using that content and functionality, but we see so much use of the reports in our reports tab, what that means is that our users are often going between Decision Center and reports for different content. So the more we pull into Decision Center, the more our users can remain there, the less jumping around they need to do, which bodes well for time savings, for being able to present to a client in a more fluid way, et cetera. And you mentioned plan comparison. This was a really big one. And this was, we call it plan comparison, but really it's an evolution of our goal planner experience that has been around in eMoney for many years. And when it comes to plan comparison, there were actually two things at play for us. One was the consolidation of Plan Comparison, formerly known as Goal Planner, into Decision Center. So while the orange tile remains on the plans page, we've also introduced an additional entry point from Decision Center itself to make it easier to navigate from Decision Center, like the normal content, into the Plan Comparison view. So that was thing one related to Plan Comparison. Thing two was kind of a complete overhaul of the experience, making it a lot simpler for our users to use it, to get the information they need more readily. So yeah, thematically all about pulling into Decision Center. And those are great examples of some of the content and functionality that have come in, Kate.
Yeah, you really spoke to a variety of things, but both achieving something that we talk a lot about here, which is really streamlining the advisor experience and making it a more efficient planning experience for advisors. So it's kind of cool to see how pulling those reports into Decision Center and Plan Comparison both really lend themselves to helping make planning more efficient and streamlined for them. I want to talk a little bit more in depth on Plan Comparison. Plan Comparison really makes the visualization of changes made to plans a lot easier within the application. What are some other benefits, though, that Plan Comparison offers the advisor?
I should have mentioned before as well, there's actually a relationship between the reports that are in Decision Center and coming into Decision Center and our Plan Comparison functionality. I'll unpack that in a second. But when it comes to deciding what advice to deliver to a client, or even talking with clients about trade-off decisions, that's a fundamental aspect of what advisors do with their clients. Understand what different paths towards your destination looks like. The analogy I often use is Google Maps. When you're trying to go from point A to point B, it'll give you three routes to your destination. You can see, you know, how long each one's going to take, whether you're taking highways or back roads or whatever, and you evaluate which you want to go towards, and then Google takes you on that path, right? It's in a lot of ways similar in financial planning. You're talking with your client about options. You're maybe tweaking some variables because to mix analogies now, like you want to avoid that toll road while you're driving to your destination or whatever it is. So this is just fundamental to financial planning. And so when we sat back and said, how do we reimagine the Goal Planner experience as we're evolving it into Plan Comparison, what immediately jumped out to us internally and through conversations with our users was that so much of the functionality in the legacy version is tucked away into these like pop-up modals. So if you need to see or access or modify a data point, you're clicking a button, you're opening a pop-up modal, you're making a change, you're closing out of it. So there's a lot of clicking happening. And so it's really not set up for speed and efficiency. And so when we rebuilt this, we took more or less all that functionality and that content that was tucked away in various pop-up modals, and we pulled it to the surface. So when you open a particular goal, which is how our Plan Comparison is organized, you see all the data points you need exposed in line. You can quickly evaluate what any given data point is. If you need to modify something, you can quickly do that. So it's evolved from this very click-heavy experience into this immediately digestible and very intuitively modifiable experience for our users. And I mentioned the relationship between reports and Plan Comparison. So one of the things that our users of Plan Comparison, now that it's been out for a couple months now, one of the things that they'll notice is the ability to change reports at the top of each column. Right now, the set of reports that you can swap between is limited, but the more content we bring into Decision Center, all of those reports will be accessible at the tops of each column. So you could say, how does each plan, or what does the lifetime portfolio value report look like for each plan, or the tax bracket report, et cetera, or the asset allocation, et cetera. So there's a relationship between the two that is really important. A couple of other things I just want to touch on real quick, because this is also a big contributor to why we evolved the experiences, not just for the reasons that our users can see today live in the app, but for the features that are currently under development and that we'll be rolling out soon, like the ability to easily summarize what changes have been made from one plan to the next. So you're going to see a different probability of success across each plan, right? What is contributing to that difference? We're going to summarize that. We're going to provide a metric section that lets users understand different kind of health metrics about each plan in a quick, immediately digestible way. And more reports, as I said, will flow into the tops of each of those columns. So it's going to become a very flexible experience for users to have those conversations with their clients, those trade-off conversations with their clients.
Wait, that's amazing. I think it's so great for you to kind of give us some insight into, you know, what's coming, what's around the corner, and the specific feature of being able to see, like you mentioned, summarizing what is contributing to the difference in plans, or what is contributing to, I guess, your success. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, so in its current state, imagine you've got three plans in context.
Mm-hmm.
And as a user, you have only made one change across each plan. In order to understand what that one change is, you would either have to have memorized that ahead of time as a user, or you'd have to look down the list of the data fields that we expose in line to find the differences. So that's doable. It's going to take a little bit of time. I use a super simple example of like one change. Oftentimes there's going to be a couple changes, but to eliminate the need to have to, as a user, go through and like itemize the differences, because as a user, you're going to speak with your client about plan A looks like this, plan B looks like this. It's a little bit better. The reason it's a little bit better is because we made X, Y, and Z changes.
Yeah.
So we're going to summarize X, Y, and Z for the user to eliminate their need to have to look through all the data points and figure out what the differences are manually. So we're gonna automate the summary of that and expose that for users.
That may seem like a small detail, but that small change is actually so impactful, I imagine, especially in the efficiency component that we've been talking about.
It is. I when I'm talking with folks internally about this, I cite my own experience before I got to eMoney as an advisor, and I'd go through that paper version of the basic, like our equivalent of the side-by-side views, and I'd go through and highlight the data points that are different from one plan to the next, because it's those things that I was talking to my client about. Those changes are the reason why we are seeing the different probabilities of success across the plans, et cetera. So anything we can do, large or small, to eliminate the need to have to manually figure things out is our objective here. And this is one way we're doing that in plan comparison.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really cool feature, Josh. Thanks for speaking on that. I do want to transition a little bit from plan comparison, although we could keep talking about all the features within plan comparison, but March was a huge month for us here at eMoney. We launched our co-planner tool, which I know we're not going to go too much into depth on just because we already have a full episode out on that people can listen to, but we also launched a new version of foundational planning. And this was a very exciting project for us here at eMoney. It's an exciting new offering. How does the new foundational planning differ from the experience that our advisors are used to?
Oh, there are so many differences. So let me again start with a little bit of context on this. Our objective is always to help our users do great planning and do it efficiently. And when it comes to foundational planning, we saw, I'm speaking high level here, we saw two key opportunities to address when rebuilding foundational planning. One of these is just to make it even simpler and even more intuitive than the older version of foundational planning. So that's opportunity number one. And there were key ways I'll get to in a second of how we've done that. But then opportunity number two was to create an experience that was more consistent and in look and feel to our already extremely popular decision center experience. And I'll speak to that more in a second as well. But to your specific question, how does the new foundational planning differ from the old? So the way the old version works is you land in foundational planning, you click on a tab, let's say the profile tab, you proceed through a series of subscreens, you're done with that, you come back out, land on the foundational planning landing page, you go into the next tab, proceed through a series of subscreens, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the old experience. For the new experience, we took more or less that same content and functionality, unpacked it, and laid it out horizontally in what we have been referring to as the ribbon at the top of the screen. Or for those that are familiar with Decision Center, it's the presentation view feature from Decision Center. So we took all that content functionality, laid it out across that ribbon experience so that the workflow is sequential in nature. It's laid out in a very easy to understand way. You go in one door and out the other door. Where it also makes a number of substantial improvements over the old version is it kind of marries the idea of a report and a data entry or modification screen. So when you're in the foundational planning flow, for example, when you're on the profile report, you can actually edit, add, remove, or modify any profile data right from the report itself. Same thing on the income report, same thing on the balance sheet, same thing on the goals report, where we've actually consolidated all goals into one screen as opposed to the segmented layout that exists today. So I would say that's thing one. The workflow is a lot more intuitive and sequential. There's a couple of other very important differences that I want to call out as well. As users are going through the experience and adding data into it, the workflow itself is actually being assessed by our system. So we're looking at the data and kind of intelligently curating the rest of the workflow based on the data that is being entered. So for example, if there is no education goal that the user has entered into the system, there's no education report that's being inserted into the workflow because it's irrelevant. There's no education goal. If the user adds an education goal, all of a sudden it is relevant. You'll see that report inserted into the workflow for the user. So we're kind of like leading the user through a workflow that is hyper-personalized to what they've told us about the client. So that's something that's radically different from the old experience as well. And the other thing, you gave a shout out to CoPlanner a second ago and mentioned the other episode that we had done on this, but CoPlanner is embedded in foundational planning as well, which means as you're going through this workflow, you can engage CoPlanner to have it assess that same data about the client and produce a series of specific actions to consider to achieve that client's goals. So new foundational planning, in addition to just being a much more intuitive and straightforward workflow, is a far more intelligent experience. curating that workflow and doing a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to analysis or recommendation creation. A number of ways it's different, but those are some high level ways where it is radically different. Oh, and final point before I forget, Kate, I mentioned at the beginning that one of the opportunities we saw here was to create consistency with Decision Center. If users were to look at a side-by-side of Decision Center and the new foundational planning, new foundational planning looks like the little sibling of Decision Center. They're very similar. The difference is foundational planning is just a smaller curated subset of that same content and functionality that's so popular in our Decision Center experience. It's just a subset of it and a more structured type of flow to it. So the feeling that users will have, our Premier users or for Plus users considering moving to a different package, it will appear as if you're unlocking additional functionality and content, not having to relearn an entirely different experience as was the case between old foundational planning and Decision Center.
Yeah, I will say it's a really cool experience to be in new foundational planning. I'm really excited for advisors to get to experience some of the things that you were just talking about. Personally, I love the fact that, like, if you don't have an education goal, for example, as you were talking to, you don't have that tile available for you. And I think that, like, that really speaks to just how customized you can make this and how personal the planning experience becomes for that advisor and therefore the end client using the new version of foundational planning. What is one thing that you want advisors to know about this version as they dive in?
I think the one thing, if I were to boil it down, would be the following. I know that when we look across the landscape of advisors, advisors specialize in lots of different things. Not every advisor is an expert in all corners of wealth management, and all advisors are not experts in financial planning topics. And so the one thing that I would encourage folks is to not feel intimidated by the financial planning workflow or financial planning job in general. They don't need to feel intimidated by it. Our new foundational planning experience intentionally makes it radically simpler than before. The curated workflows I mentioned help the user understand a narrative that can be used with the clients. So walking sequentially through that narrative, we curate for you, and CoPlanner can help do the heavy lifting of figuring out what to think about or consider talking to your clients about for how to achieve their goals. In general, financial planning can be intimidating, but this experience in particular goes a long way to helping those non-financial planning experts feel like they can actually incorporate planning into their practices.
Great insight for our advisors who, like you said, not everyone focuses on planning as a whole or comprehensive planning, but it does seem to be a huge thing for a lot of advisors and a key focus as time goes on. So great insight there. For an advisor who's listening to this episode, but they haven't explored any of these features yet, and I do feel like this is a bit of a loaded question, because we covered so much, where would you suggest that they begin and why?
There is a lot here. There's a lot we've done in the first few months of the year. What I would say...
And this could include CoPlanner too.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a couple of things. Number one is when it comes to plan comparison, start to familiarize yourself with the access point we've created inside Decision Center. Folks are so used to the workflows that they've had for so long, where you might be in Decision Center, then you exit, go into the plans landing page, then into Goal Planner, and then navigate back to Decision Center. We've brought plan comparison into Decision Center now. It's in the modes drop-down menu. So I would say start there when you're inside Decision Center. Check out the new, easier, more direct link between Decision Center and that comparison view. You mentioned CodePlanner. Absolutely. It's a button in the top left corner of Decision Center. It says CodePlanner right on it. Definitely engage with that. We have built that to be usable out of the box, meaning you can click that generate button. It will assess data, produce the draft plan for your review. But we always include the settings menu to help you influence what CodePlanner is allowed to assess or how it does its analysis. And just to draw the line, the connection between CodePlanner and foundational planning, inside foundational planning, it's a little light bulb icon across the left side of the screen. So as you're going through foundational planning, don't sleep on that light bulb icon. You can click that and CodePlanner will pop out and start doing its job, just like it works inside Decision Center. Definitely focus there. The new plan comparison entry point and CodePlanner access from DC, from Decision Center and foundational planning.
Josh, thank you so much. All of these resources offer something valuable to the advisor, and even to be able to see how they work cohesively together is so cool. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of a Q1 recap for our audience. And yeah, as always, I appreciate having you on.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Knowledge Base Podcast. If you're looking for more information on the features mentioned in this episode, check out our new and updated quarterly resources section in the Help menu. And as a reminder, we would love to hear from you. Send us a message about anything related to the podcast at knowledgebasedcontent@emoneyadvisor.com. We'll catch you on another episode soon.